This evening, and my goal, I know it's just about a quarter after now, and my goal is that we're out of here by 7, all right? And so I know that's, you say, that's not going to be possible. You can't do it. Let's try. We can always try something new, amen? And I'm hoping to be on the road between 7:30, 8 o'clock, so I'm not rushing when I get there. But we haven't been in the book of Galatians now for several weeks. Let's just remind ourselves, if we can, why Paul's writing the church of Galatia, the believers that are there in Galatia. He began, of course, in chapter 1, just marveling that they were so soon removed from the gospel unto another gospel, which wasn't a gospel. And we understand that there's only one gospel. There's not multiple gospels. There's not the Baptist gospel and the Catholic gospel and this gospel and that gospel. There's one gospel. And that's the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he was marveled that they'd moved away from trusting in that, and now they were trusting in the law to bring them salvation and to bring them favor with God. Their standing before God now was by them believed to be in the works that they were doing, in the works of the law that they were doing. And Paul just has been talking to them and says, man, you've been set at liberty. You've been set free from the burden of sin, and you've been allowed the chains of bondage to fall off of you that sin held you captive, and now you put on the bonds of the law. And he said you've gone from one bondage to another bondage. And Paul has belabored this with them over the last few chapters, that there's no justification that comes from the law. There's never been one person that has ever received salvation or been justified before God by the works of the law. He says that in chapter 16 and chapter 2 and verse 16 specifically, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And we understand that he's been trying to encourage them about the motive behind what they're doing. We serve God and we are saved because of the finished work of Christ. And we now get to serve God because of the finished work of Christ. And we do labor for the Lord because of the finished work of Christ, not because we're hoping to finish the work of God for him. It's not a matter of me receiving salvation that I work. It's a matter that I've already received salvation. Therefore, I do works. And I have a love for brethren, and I have a care and a concern for the lost, and I have a desire to minister to people because, why? Christ lives in me now. I'm not doing those things because I'm hoping that one day I'll gain favor with God. I've already gained favor with God, and he's very clear with them in the beginning of chapter number 4 and verse number 9. He says, now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the works, to the weaker and the beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Why is it that you would go from having freedom back into bondage? And he's very concerned for them. He has a great concern for them, and to the point that he says, listen, I feel like I've almost labored in vain in verse number 11 for you, and that you've turned away from the faith of Jesus Christ. And so over and over and over again, he has been, if you will, I'm using the word belaboring what he is trying to teach them, to help them to be established in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. He is fighting for them, if you will, over and over again. And we're going to read tonight, beginning in verse number 12 of chapter 4, is where we left off. This desire they had to return back to bondage, Paul has been addressing it. And in verse number 12, it's almost like he kind of changes speech a little bit and starts talking to them in a very kind way, all right? In a very tender way, Paul begins to address them. He says this in verse 12, brethren, chapter 4 and verse 12, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Here he is feeling that the labor that he had bestowed on them had been in vain, that he had wasted his time. But listen to me, it hasn't injured him at all. It was no waste of time. Look at verse 13. Ye know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And I am therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you. He's talking about the Judaizers, those who are trying to push this kind of false doctrine among them. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. So they would turn you to themselves. They exclude you from me so that you can affect them. The ministry, and we're going to talk about this, so we're not going to get into this tonight, but Paul has a lot to say about what a true minister really is and what a true minister of God really is. And he says, this isn't about you. This isn't for your well-being. They're excluding you from me so that you can be a blessing to them. And then he says this in verse 18, and we'll be done reading this evening. He says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. It's good always to be zealously affected in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. Just because whether I'm there or not, if it's good to do, it's good to do. And if it's right to do, it's right to do. It shouldn't matter whether I'm standing there with you. You should do right. You should do right. And so I want to preach to you just a few minutes on where is the love? Where is the love? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, just for the next few moments that we're going to spend together in your word, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to... Lord, to realize the need of being zealously affected in a good thing. And God, your Spirit desires to work in us and to move us and to provoke us unto love and good works. And Lord, I pray that we would be provoked in such a way, because it would be good to be provoked. And that wouldn't be to the praise and glory of men. It wouldn't be to the benefit of men, but it'd be to the glory of God. And it would be for the benefit of those who are being ministered to, and not those who are doing the ministry. Lord, I pray that you just would be with us. Lord, help us to find the truth here. I pray that your Spirit would guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text, Paul continues to reason with the Galatians. He continues to try to help them. And I want to primarily focus on this one aspect tonight of Paul's reasoning with them. And I don't want us to miss this. And I think it will be very effective to help us if we'll jump in on what Paul is saying. He knows that these people have rejected the gospel. He knows that of them, that they've turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's not something he takes lightly. It's obviously, over the last three chapters, something he takes very seriously. And he's attacking it, this false belief that has been raised up among them, the false teachers that has come in among them. He's attacked them. He's reasoned with them. He's come up with different ways to try to help them understand the truth. It's his desire that they would walk in truth. He also knows this, according to our text, because he desires for them to walk in the truth. They've been duped by these Judaizers. They've been duped by these false teachers. And because they have been taken in by them, he understands this, that they now hate him. And he says that very plainly. I think verse 16 is very central to what Paul is trying to say to him here in chapter number 4. He says, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And that was the purpose. They say, why is there a problem here? Is because they were following after a falsehood, a false teaching, a one that said you have to be circumcised. You have to be You have to be a keeper of the law, and you have to keep all the dictates of the law in order to prove your salvation. And Paul is fighting against that with the truth that no, we have salvation in Christ. And let me just reiterate, there's nothing wrong with one having standards. There's nothing wrong with one having certain dictates by which their life is governed. People ask all sometimes, like, well, what about our diet? Should we keep a Jewish diet? I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping a Jewish diet, but it's when we start finding our righteousness and our justification to be found in the things that we do. Understand, that's when we run into problems, because our righteousness is not based upon us. Our righteousness is based upon Him. Our righteousness is filthy rags before Him. There's no work, there's no law I could keep to ever be before God as seen as righteous. The only way I can be seen as righteous before God is to have the shed blood of Jesus Christ atone for my sin. That's the only way. There's no law I'm going to keep. God never looked down at any sacrifice of the Old Testament and said, listen, because of this sacrifice that they've made for their sin, therefore I'm going to deem them as righteous for all of eternity. There's been one sacrifice for all men, for all time, that God ever looked down at and said, listen, this is an atoning sacrifice that not only atones for this individual sin, but atones for the sin nature of man, and that is the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And He knows, because they have followed some other truth, that they hate Him at this point in time. But I want you to notice in verse number 12, the first word, brethren. They've turned away from the gospel. They're no longer walking in the truth. They hate those who are coming to them and saying, listen, you need to change the direction you're going. You need to change what you're doing. What you're doing is not right. Yeah, you're zealous about what you're doing, but what you're doing is not good. And yet the first word He uses there in verse 12 is brethren. He still addresses them as brethren. I find that to be very interesting, because I know this, that it's interesting that when people fall, and when people mess up, and when people don't do right, and I'm not saying in my judgment, these people weren't doing right at all. It's not my judgment. This is what the Word of God would help us to understand. I mean, they have completely turned away from the from the gospel. And Paul still looks at them and says, brethren, and calls them his brothers, as if they were still brothers in Christ. As if that which had taken place in their life before, in Paul's eyes, was not in question. He wasn't sitting there going, hey, well, I'm wondering whether or not you all are even saved at this point. Now, we understand this. If they're trusting in the law for salvation, if that's what somebody's trusting in, is their own works for salvation, there is no salvation there. But listen to me, if someone did trust in Christ and believe in Christ and put their faith in Christ, just because they fall into some other doctrine, or just because they might even fall into sin, or just because they might fall into heresy, as these men did, it doesn't take away their salvation. Come on, they don't lose their salvation, but I'll tell you this, that one of the first things that we're good about in an independent Baptist church is to stop and to question, well, I'll tell you, I don't even know that they're really even saved. We're awfully good at that. In fact, that's where we first go. Is I'll tell you, they obviously don't got what I got, and understand with me, I can be just as guilty, and my heart and my mind can be just as guilty, but I want us to understand this, that while what we can look at one's actions, and we can say, you know what, I don't necessarily care for what they're doing, I don't think that's what a Christian should be doing, you understand, my opinion about what someone's doing doesn't make them saved or unsaved. I don't put people in salvation or out of salvation. I don't offer anybody salvation to begin with. And so we need to be very careful that Paul is looking at them, and while they had rejected him, and while they had rejected the truth, Paul still calls them brethren. It's almost one of the first things that we want to do is remove the title of brethren and call one's salvation into question. And certainly, it's true that can be the case. I'm not saying that's not always the case. I think it's very possible that they could be lost, and that's why they're acting the way they're acting. But understand with me, Paul remembers of these people what happened among them. He remembers that. He recounts for them in that in verse 13, 14, and 15. He's recounting what took place when he came to them with the message of the gospel. In fact, he says in verse number verse number 12, listen to me, we're the same. You should be as we are because we are the same. He's trying to help them understand that they're not as different as they think they are, because according to Paul, I think Paul believes by his word, brethren, that they have the same Savior. They still have the same Savior. Whether they're walking in truth today or not, they were saved by the same Savior as well. While he definitely concerned about where they are going, he did not want to offend them. He was not offended by them. I'm sorry. Paul wasn't offended by their actions. Paul wasn't offended by what they were doing. He says, ye have not injured me at all. We need to understand this. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you and I realize this, that when I am offended, and when I get offended, I'm only telling on myself. That I'm not in love with the law of God. Someone does something. Someone does something against me. And these people, Paul's saying, listen, you haven't injured me at all. And they were against the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul was giving his life for. And Paul said, I'm not injured at all. I'm not offended by you at all. And we tell on ourselves many times by the offenses that we take. I'm trying to point out to us today that we like to write people off real quickly. And one time meant a great deal to us. That one time we served beside. That one time we prayed for. That one time we were concerned for. And Paul was not quick to write anybody off. He wasn't. Paul still realized, man, they still got breath in their lungs. There is opportunity for me to minister the truth unto them, and I'm going to minister the truth unto them whether they want to hear it or not. Paul desired to minister unto them, and Paul wanted them to understand the truth. And he reminds them of what they meant to each other. Look at verse 13 and 14 and 15 again. It says, ye know how that through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as the angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. At the first, they didn't despise the preaching of the gospel. Now they did, but at first they didn't. At first they wanted to hear everything that Paul says to them. They desired to hear. And Paul said, you weren't even taken back by my appearance. We'd understand that Paul, many would believe because of the experience on the Damascus Road, would have been scarred or marred from that experience that talks about the scales that were upon his eyes, and that would have been a scar unto him. We know that Paul was beaten. We know that Paul was probably disfigured as he was left for dead. Several places after being stoned, you realize bones would have been broken. Paul would have been a slumped over, a scarred up old man. That's what Paul would have looked like. And Paul said, listen, you weren't even turned off by my appearance because you desired to hear what I had to say to you. You were zealous and you wanted to hear the gospel. You wanted to hear the truth. You wanted to believe what the gospel that I was preaching unto you. And they listened to him when he came to them at the first. They didn't despise it. They didn't reject it, but they received it. Not just Paul, but they didn't just receive Paul, but they received the message that Paul was preaching to them. That's what they received. They received the message from God as if he were an angel, it says in the end of verse 14. But ye receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. When Paul spoke to them, they felt that they were hearing a message directly from God. And they received that message, and they took that message in. They received the gospel, praise the Lord. And that's why Paul's not looking at them and going, listen, what's up with y'all? You've left the gospel. You're not even saved. That's not what Paul's looking at them as. Paul's looking at them and saying, how could you walk away from that which you believed? When you received it, you received it as if it was God himself speaking unto you. I mean, like God brought a special message down from heaven just for you. That's how you received it. They would have done anything for him. He says in the end of verse number 15, he says, ye have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. You would have done anything to receive this message. You would have done anything for me to, when I brought this message to me, to you. You were so grateful. You were so pleased with this message. And yet today, I'm your enemy. Yet today, you've rejected this message. Yet today, you want nothing to do with this message. And he says why in verse number 16, I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Because I'm coming to you now and I'm saying, listen, you've been taken in by these men that are preaching the law in order to be justified. And it's a wrong gospel. It's not the truth. And because I'm standing here and telling you it's not the truth, now I'm your enemy. Simply because he stood for the truth. Because he wanted them to walk in truth. I want you to understand that if you'll walk in truth, there are some men that won't walk with you. It's just the case. If you'll walk in truth, there are some people that are going to separate themselves from you. And they're no longer going to want to walk with you if you'll walk according to the truth. And Paul was not willing to compromise the truth. Paul was not willing to bend at all upon what the truth was and say, listen, I love you and therefore I'm going to accept your falsehood. Now, listen, while Paul didn't call them into question about whether they were really saved, Paul as well was not going to just sit back and say, hey, listen, because we are brethren, everything you do is okay by me. Are you with me? Everything, hey, this is the direction you've decided to go. That's what truth is for you. Then that's the direction you should go. That wasn't Paul's stance either. Paul was very clear with them in verse number 17. Listen, you're zealously affected. They've zealously affected you. Those who are preaching this false gospel have zealously affected you. But look what he says, but not well. Not well. I know that we would look at those and we go, I mean, this isn't really drastic language for us, but he's trying to prove to help them understand something. The things that you are zealous about are no good things. No good things. Effect means to have warm feelings of. For or against. It means desire or to be envious of. So those things that zealously affect you are not doing so in a good manner. These things that you're excited about, they aren't good. And look at what he says. Yea, they would exclude you, and he's talking about them excluding them from Paul, that ye might affect them. You realize what the works of the flesh are all about and the works of the law were all about? Is that I might be able to feel like I'm doing what I need to do in order to be saved. That's what the works of the flesh are about. That's what the works of the law were about. That's what Paul's warning them against. Listen, they're not doing this for you. They're doing this for them. This is what they want. They want people to follow after the law. They want to turn people away from the truth of the gospel. And so therefore, listen, they're turning men unto themselves and not to Christ. This isn't about you. This is about them. And then Paul says it's good to be, in verse number 18, it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. But listen, it doesn't have to do with me. Them accepting and receiving the gospel, listen, it wasn't about them receiving or rejecting Paul. Paul wasn't offended. Paul wasn't standing up and saying, how could you turn from me like this? How could you turn away from me? No, he's wondering how they could turn away from the gospel. How could you turn away from the truth? It wasn't about Paul. It was about them walking in truth. It was about them being right with God. It was about them having a right relationship with God. It had nothing to do with Paul. And Paul's very clear that, listen, whether or not I'm there or not, you should do what's right. You should be walking in those things that are good, whether or not I'm present with you or not. Because when we look at why they walked away from the truth, we'd find out that, well, what changed? I mean, what had taken place? And we're going to get into this more next week. What had taken place that caused them to leave the truth and caused them to hate Paul? Well, it was because they had, because Paul was not there with them to hold their hand. Come on. And that's a lot of people's Christianity. That's what a lot of people... I need somebody to hold my hand. I can't do good. I'm not going to do good unless somebody's zealously affecting me to do it. Wait a second. You got the Spirit of God when you got saved. It's not my job as a pastor to be the Spirit of God for you. I shouldn't have to walk around and say, hey, do this. Don't do that. And don't do that and do this. And understand, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. My job's to stand and say, hey, thus saith the Lord. This is what God's word is for you. It's your job to be obedient to the word, not my job to be obedient for you. And there's a lot of Christians, understand with me, that they need a babysitter. And these people, yes, while they received Paul, and that while they were desirous to follow after Paul, they were missing something. And what they were missing was not an obedience to men. No, no, they were overly and abundantly being obedient to what men told them to do. What they were missing was being obedient in the absence of men. Instead of being obedient to the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to guide them and allowing the Spirit of God to teach them and to help them, what they were doing is they were relying on the teachers that came by. Now understand with me, I want to help you. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to have a greater knowledge of the Word of God. But understand with me, I cannot be spiritual for you. I barely be spiritual enough for myself. Come on. And the reality is this, that my great desire for you and my great desire for you to walk in truth and to have a great relationship with God, understand with me, it'll do nothing for you if you're just following me. Now, Paul does tell, understand with me, Paul does say, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. He doesn't say just follow me and listen to what I do and follow, mimic every little thing that I do. No, he wants them to follow Christ. And these Judaizers were coming in, and if you will, they were being lords over God's heritage. And they're saying, no, this is exactly how you do it, and this is what we want done, and this is what you have to do. And Paul's saying, listen, no, you need to do right because it's right. And you need to do good because it's good to do good. And you can get excited and you can get zealous about doing good things. Listen, with or without me. It's not about me in your life. It's about Christ in your life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Paul with you, the hope of glory. Not some preacher with you, the hope of glory. And we're not to live life according to the gospel of Paul. And we're not to live life in accordance to the gospel of the preacher. And we're not to live life by every little dictate and every whim that some preacher on the radio or on the TV or even behind this pulpit has. We're to live life in obedience to the Spirit of God. And so you understand this, that the message of truth never changes. The gospel never changes. The truth never changes. And here's another thing that you receive with the gospel. That spirit that you received when you received the gospel and you heard the truth. Listen, it never changes either. And just because we're zealous about something, and people get, and listen to me, people can get excited about something, and they can get zealous, if you will, about something, and they can get all tuned up and excited about it. And then someone comes along and says, okay, but that's not in accordance to the truth. Well, brother so-and-so said, well, that's fine, whatever brother so-and-so says. Well, that's fine and dandy, that preacher on the television or that guy on the radio or whatever. But let's stop and let's go back to this. Is that according to the truth? And I'm telling you what, there's been many, many a Christian who have turned from the truth to follow after they who zealously affect them, but not in a good thing. And Paul's saying, listen, you need to be zealously affected but in a good thing. And if you're zealously affected in a good thing, then listen, it doesn't matter whether I'm present with you or not. You're going to stay with it. The problem is here that these men were following after men and not God. They were following after teachers. They were looking for someone who has something, man, that they could get excited about. They were looking for somebody that would come around and give them something that they could get stirred up about. And when they got stirred up about it, I mean, they were all about it. And they were following after it. And they were stirred up by Paul. They're stirred up by these men. And guess what? They'd be stirred up by the next guy that came along. And Paul said, listen, it's good to be zealously affected, but always in a good thing, not in a bad thing. And if it's good to do, and I'll be done this evening, if it's good to do, listen, it's good to do with or without me. Doing good is always good. But listen, church, don't do good for me. It's a wrong motivation. Listen, it's good to do good, and I'll tell you what, husbands, it's good to be a good husband. It's good to be a good father. But listen, my motivation is not, well, I just don't want my wife to be mad at me. Come on. I don't like her when she nags me, so I'm gonna be good. No. I love God. And I know the command of the Lord. And the command of the Lord is that I'm to love my wife. The command of the Lord is I'm to dwell with her according to knowledge. So therefore, I'm going to be obedient to the command of God, and I'm going to do good, and I'm going to be zealously affected. Yeah, well, I don't want my kids to grow up to be hooligans. So I guess I'll try to be a good dad. Well, listen to me. It's bigger than your kids. Come on. Well, this seems to have pleased my flesh. Listen, it's not about your flesh. Again and again and again in the book of Galatians, we've gotten down to motives. Why we do what we do. And it's not because somebody has a flashier message. And it's not because somebody has something that appeals to us more. It's down to the truth and what the truth of God is. And if it's the truth of God, it's a good thing to be excited about. It's a good thing to be involved about. To be involved in. Doesn't matter whether the preacher's there with you. Doesn't matter whether Paul's right there with you. I'm going to be good, do good, because it's good to do good. Don't forsake the truth, my friend, to follow after men. Don't forsake the truth to follow after men. Paul said, listen, you're my enemy now because I tell you the truth. Why? Because there's some men that came along, told them some lie that they were more willing to believe than they were to stay faithful to the truth. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.